From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text comes from the book of Genesis in chapter 4 and verse 2. Abel was a keeper of sheep. As a shepherd, Abel sanctified his work to the glory of God and offered a sacrifice of blood upon his altar. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering. This early type of our Lord is exceedingly clear and distinct. Like the first streak of light which tinges the east at sunrise, it does not reveal everything, but it clearly manifests the great fact that the Son is coming. As we see Abel, a shepherd and yet a priest, offering a sacrifice of sweet smell unto God, we discern our Lord, who brings before his Father a sacrifice to which Jehovah ever hath respect. Abel was hated by his brother, hated without a cause, and even so was the Savior. The natural and carnal man hated the accepted man in whom the Spirit of grace was found, and rested not until his blood had been shed. Abel fell, and sprinkled his altar and sacrifice with his own blood, and therein sets forth the Lord Jesus, slain by the enmity of man, while serving as a priest before the Lord. The good shepherd layeth down his life for the sheep. Let us weep over him as we view him slain by the hatred of mankind, staining the horns of his altar with his own blood. Abel's blood speaketh. The Lord said unto Cain, The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The blood of Jesus hath a mighty tongue, and the import of its prevailing cry is not vengeance, but mercy. It is precious beyond all preciousness to stand at the altar of our good shepherd, to see him bleeding there as the slaughtered priest, and then to hear his blood speaking peace to all his flock. Peace in our conscience, peace between Jew and Gentile, peace between man and his offended Maker, peace all down the ages of eternity for blood-washed men. Abel is the first shepherd in order of time, but our hearts shall ever place Jesus first in order of excellence. Thou great keeper of the sheep, we the people of thy pasture bless thee with our whole hearts when we see thee slain for us.
Thank you.
Imagine a boy growing up under the influence of a drunken father, participating in the violence and bloodshed of Northern Ireland in the 1970s, and being imprisoned in the Maze, the most notorious prison in the country. Yet, by the grace of God and the influence of caring loved ones, this young man's life was transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thorough was the change that Thomas Martin became a powerful preacher whose testimony and ministry has seen many men and women brought to new life in Christ. Thomas Martin's story of the miracle of God's saving grace has been set down in a book entitled Out of the Maze, written by Noel Davidson. And Let the Bible Speak is happy to make copies of this encouraging and heartwarming book available free of charge to all who request it. For a free copy of Out of the Maze, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of Out of the Maze, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a subject called How to Think and Live as Christians. Again, the text is found in Romans chapter 6, verses 8 through 14. In the first message on the subject, Dr. Cairns reminded us of the importance of recognizing what Christ has done through his death on the cross. As he has emphasized, all true Christian experience depends upon our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. This is what we are to reckon on or count on, and we are to live our lives in constant and continual reference to Christ. As a result of that union with Christ, we are to reject the reign of sin in our bodies. Now Dr. Cairns continues with this subject of how to think and live as Christians.
This is the great reality of being saved. We live with reference unto God. We live with life that God has given us. Not only so, but we live as His subjects because He is our King. We have been introduced into His presence, as we saw studying Romans chapter 5. We have been introduced into His presence by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we stand accepted by Him because we're in union with Christ. So we live unto God in the power of immortal life, and we shall live. There's no end to that. Verse 8, there's no end to it. We shall live, not only now, but forever. In other words, we should reckon on the absolute security that we have in Christ. Now, when Paul says, reckon on these things, he says, I want you to reckon. You're in a world where you're struggling with sin. You're struggling with the opposition of the devil. You want to know how to think right, how to live right. Well, reckon, I died with Christ. Understand that. I rose again in the power of immortal life with Jesus Christ. I will never die again. I cannot revert under the power of sin and death. I live forever in absolute security in Jesus Christ. Can I suggest something to you? The trouble with most Christians is when they get into trouble in their lives, they stop thinking through the gospel. That's the big trouble. They're not thinking right. When you see Christians who are not living right, you may be absolutely certain you've got Christians who are not thinking right. When Christians get themselves into bother and trouble, they start searching around for answers here and there and everywhere. We have a plethora of counselors and psychologists and Christian psychologists. Now, there's an oxymoron. But Christian psychologists, and they come up with all sorts of crazy little notions. This little bit out of Freud, this little bit out of Carl Jung, this little bit out of somebody else, and they stick a Bible text on it, and they tell you this is a divine principle. Christians are casting about for help here, there, and yonder. There are some psychologists who will tell them to let it all out. Think some of these people had a, this is true, I'm not making this up, they actually had a compound. I think it was in the extreme northwest of Ireland. Northwest of Ireland. They had that this way out in a wilderness area. And they were teaching the people there scream therapy. True, scream therapy. Yell as hard as you can. Let it all out. This is how you deal with your problems. This is how you deal with your sin. This is how you deal with the great crises of your life. When you've yelled all you can yell, haven't changed anything. You need to be able to think through the gospel. Think through the gospel. The promise of Isaiah 26 and 3 still holds good. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That's where we get our anchor. That's where we get our stability. That's where we get to the place of dealing with sin and its attack, with the world and its attack, with our problems and our troubles. I'm not saying they'll all fly away. That's a false promise for any preacher to give you. I am simply saying, in a world that's hostile to us, in a world in which life can be complicated and difficult, and the conflict that we all are engaged in can be long and arduous, I am saying we must learn to think through the gospel. Get back to basics. That's how you are to think. And you'll find something that right thinking produces right living, which is the final element in how to think and act as a Christian, the final element in this life of faith. The first one is recognizing what Christ has done. The second one is reckoning on our union with Christ in his death and resurrection. And the third one is rejecting the reign of sin in our bodies. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Notice the therefore. Paul is severely logical here. He's answering this slander that here's your gospel, Paul. If I take your gospel of grace, therefore let us continue at sin that grace may abound. Paul is saying, no, that's not the proper deduction from the truth of justifying grace. Here is the proper deduction. It's not let us continue in sin, but let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Here is also proof of the meaning of the body of sin. Remember, I pointed out that there's a great deal of controversy over this expression, the body of sin. John Calvin takes it to mean the great mass of sin. Charles Hodge took the body of sin to be a figure of speech, likening sin unto a body as if it had head and hands and feet, but it's only a metaphor. Again, it's the mass of sin and corruption. I believe that the body of sin is a reference to the literal body as it may be used as an instrument of sin. And here is the proof of that, for he's saying, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Why? Because listen, that's where you're vulnerable. That body of yours is not yet glorified. The real you, if you're a believer. And I know this is a hard thing for us to conceptualize, and obviously you can't really do that. But I want you nonetheless to get the truth of it. When he says, I died and I rose again, he's saying, I came out of Adam, I'm into Christ. That's my legal position with God. I'm in Christ. Now, where is Christ? Where is Christ? He's at the right hand of God. He's in heaven. Where am I? I'm in Christ. Where is Christ? He's in heaven. Where am I? I'm in Christ. You see what I'm getting at? Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And he goes on telling you what God has done. And then he says that he has raised us up together and he's made us sit together. Where? In heavenly places in Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29 and 30, he talks about the purpose of God for believers. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How do we know that? How do we know it? All you Arminians, listen up quickly. All you people who don't like the doctrine of predestinating and electing grace, listen up carefully. All Christians are very quick to say, oh, we know that all things work together for good. How do we know that? Because whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. You notice the use of the past tense in every case. He foreknew, he predestined, he called, he justified, he glorified. Hey, hold a second. We're still on earth, are we not? Well, our bodies are. But our being in Christ, our union with Christ, is clear here. He is in heaven. We are in heaven. Listen, here's the security of the believer. In Christ, his glorification is as much a fact of history as his justification. There's no way around that. God called, God justified, God glorified. That's the position in Christ. But you see, that's the real you if you're a believer. But now where are you? I'm not a Christian scientist. I'm a Christian. I'm certainly not a scientist. And if I were a scientist, I would not be what's called a Christian scientist. So when I see you, that's a real body you have. And where is it? It's sitting right in front of me. And I can tell you by the look of you, I know rightly that body hasn't been glorified. Nor is it going to be glorified until the day of resurrection, the day of redemption, the day of the adoption, Paul calls it. Only then will it be glorified. So while we're here, this body is vulnerable to the attack of sin. Sin can never bring you out of Christ and back into Adam. Sin can no more do that than it can reach up to the throne of God and take Christ out of heaven and put him back in the grave. Can't do that. But sin can attack through your body, through your earthly human existence here. So what do? We must refuse obedience to sin in the lusts of our body. That is, we must not obey sin by yielding to carnal appetites. Notice what he says, these belong to the mortal body. Let not sin therefore reign. Don't let it tyrannize. Let it hold the rule over you in your mortal body. You see, again, what he's saying is, I want you to think. I want you to think. I want you to keep thinking. I want you to keep reckoning. Don't be dictated to by the lusts of the body, the cravings of the body. Now, the cravings of the body are not wrong in themselves. At least not every craving. The natural instincts of the body have a place. But they must not be the ruling force. Christians must be ruled by the gospel. by Christ in the gospel. They must constantly be thinking what it is to be in Christ. They must allow this thought process, this reckoning on the truth of what they are in Christ, they must allow that to impose itself on the body and on every desire of the body and bring that desire to submission to the gospel. What Paul is saying is, do not take even the legitimate longings of the body and let them rule you to such an extent that they become your king, your tyrant. Remember, the body is mortal. It's dying. It's not only subject to corruption, it's subject to death. Its corrupt desires and pleasures are but for a moment, but so also are its innocent pursuits and pleasures. They are also but for a moment. What Paul is saying is, I want you to be like Moses. Remember what he wrote in Hebrews 11, 25 and 26 about Moses? That by faith, and you'll notice the by faith throughout that chapter, what is this? He's saying they're reckoning on the truth of the gospel. By faith, Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Paul is saying, look at your body. Every ache and every pain reminds you it's a dying body. Every wrinkle, every lost hair, they all remind you it's a dying body. You're living in the power of immortal life. Don't, therefore, yield to the momentary demands of a mortal body. Now what he's saying here is, if we reckon, that is, if we think right, if we're thinking according to the truth of the gospel, sin cannot reign over us. He's not saying you can't sin. He's not saying you will be sinless. In fact, he makes it very clear that's not the case. But he says sin can't reign over you. It can't any longer be the dominating tyrant that it was. It can't enslave you. And thereby, you can go on to the experience of verse 13, where he says, you do not present your body, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. The word instruments here is the usual word for weapons. That's a very telling expression. For the members of your own body are the weapons that sin and Satan would use to seek to enslave you. That's why Paul said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9:27, I keep under my body. I buffet it. Paul obviously knew a bit about the science and skill of boxing, for this is a term taken from the old boxing matches. And he says, I buffet my body in order to reduce it to powerlessness. I do not feed the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, but I buffet it, I keep the flesh under. As he says later in the book of Romans 13, verse 14, he says, you do not make provision for the flesh.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.